Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. Praise the Lord. God is good. I just wanted to tell you, we'll tell you right off the top here just so we can cut it out. But I wanted to let you all know that, we are in the process of securing a space, a permanent space. Praise the Lord. And when I mean we're in the process, I can't give you all the details. I can't tell you where it's at. I'm just going to let you know that there's something in the works, and that thing is as solid can be. Praise the Lord. The only thing that would change that is if the Lord had some different direction, which I don't believe he will at this point. But hey, I'm always open to what God's doing. But I do know this, that there will be a more permanent space in the near future. Praise God. And when I mean more permanent, I mean probably more permanent, like till Jesus comes. Hallelujah. So we're excited for what God's doing. We're stepping out in faith in some things, but we know that Lord has us here for a reason, and we're just going to run with that. Amen. Praise the Lord. So be excited for it. Stir yourselves up for it. Remember to pray. Continue to release faith for the faithful, because we need people to continue coming. Praise the Lord, who are faithful. We want to grow, because we need people that will go out and do the work of the Lord. Church isn't just for people to come get saved. Now, that's a great thing if somebody gets saved when they come to church, but really, that's the work of the people that come to church, is to go out and get the world saved and bring them into church so they can learn how to change their lives, so they can live differently, so they can go out in the world and get people saved. Hallelujah. And that's how it happens. Praise the Lord. And I want to encourage you, it was on my heart to encourage you that if you've been coming, I know we have quite a few Mayville people here. But if you've been coming, be excited about that. And know that you're doing a good thing. Because, as we come here and we congregate together, even if it's people from another church, but we come here and congregate together, we worship together, we're building roots. Amen. Because we're bringing God into the place. We're bringing God into the mix. And when we have faithful people do that, then the work of the Lord is getting accomplished. Amen. Yeah. And so don't underestimate, if you've been coming, the importance of that. We thank you for it. God's doing a great and wonderful work here, and we're excited for it. Praise the Lord. Which leads me into today's service. Today we're preaching about committed to Him. That's the name of the sermon. Committed to Him. Praise the Lord. There's so many things, there's so many plans, there's so many ideas in man's heart and man's mind. There's so many ideas of what man can come up with, of direction and what we should do or what we shouldn't do. I was just talking with our brother Sam out there, and we were talking about people starting churches and people becoming pastors and stuff like that. But, there's a lot of people that do that they're not doing it based on the leading of God. The Bible tells us that unless the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain who build it. And so we understand that if we do things outside of God's plan, that we can't expect Him to bless it. Well, so many people they're doing things over and over and over. So many Christians are just living their lives over and over every day, the same thing, and they're not doing it according to God's plan, but their plan, and they're asking the Lord to bless it, and He can only bless it so far. But see, God has a perfect plan, and this is why we see Christians that don't walk out all the promises of God, because they don't understand that God's got a perfect plan. And when you commit yourself to that plan, when you connect with that plan, then you get to enter into all those blessings, into all those things. My wife and I are more blessed today than we ever have been. And it's not because we pastor a church. Praise the Lord. It's not because we pastor two churches. It's because we're in the plan of God. And the more that we've been in the plan of God, the more blessing has come upon us. Amen. I was talking, my wife and I were sitting at breakfast this morning. We had this wonderful restaurant, and we were at this on this deck overlooking a lake. Praise the Lord. Finley Lake was gorgeous. It was just a beautiful morning, And we're sitting there having breakfast together, and a nice vehicle drove by. And as that vehicle drove by, it was a luxury vehicle, what we consider, actually several of them did. And I said to my wife, I was like, it's interesting to me how as I've spent time with God and as I've grown in the Lord, He's increased my appreciation for nice things. Yeah. Amen. He's increased my appreciation for things that are beautiful, things that are expensive sometimes, things that are excellent. And that's really what it comes down to, because, you know, with a vehicle, you can go buy a cheap vehicle and it can junk out on you and just real quick, you know. They make some that, you know, they rot out before the warranty's even up. But then, you know, there's a lot of vehicles out there that just last and last and last. You have a truck, and good American-made truck, Dodge truck, praise the Lord. And that thing is just, it's solid, and it's you know, when you drive down the street, it feels like you're riding in a luxury vehicle, even though it's just a pickup truck. Well, they're making them a lot nicer than they used to, amen. But you know, the thing is that God has increased that in me, and I love how he's done that, because my desire for everything has been biggered, amen. I don't look at a church building and think, well, we just need this little space anymore. We want it nice. I'm always thinking, our Mayville church building, always thinking about how I can make it better and make it nicer and add something to it to just give it a little more pop of just excellence. Amen? Because that's the way the Lord is. See, God created everything in excellence, and we see when he had man create the temple, he built the temple in excellence, and even when it was in a tent, it was excellent, amen, praise the Lord, you know, all these things, but these are the plans of the Lord. And see, man's plans might say, well, why does all that matter? It does. Yeah. See, I don't mind that there's churches out there, they're big cathedrals. I don't think that's a waste of money. You know, there was people that there was a woman who dumped a very expensive perfume on Jesus, and the people some people wanted to rebuke her because they could have sold that for money and given it to the poor, as was said, and Jesus said, "You'll have the poor with you always." You know, see, what he was saying by that was really important to understand. Jesus wasn't saying that everybody should be poor or that he wants people to be poor, because he said by preaching them the gospel, they would learn how to come out of poverty, because a lot of times poverty is nothing more than just bad thinking. Amen. It isn't the will of God at all. It's just bad thinking. If you look at all God's creation, it's very evident that God didn't want us being poor. Amen. But what he was saying is that there will always be the poor with you. If you teach the gospel, I've said this before, it's a great equalizer. It doesn't matter where you're at or where you come from. It doesn't matter what your background is, who your daddy was, who your daddy wasn't, praise the Lord. All that matters is who your heavenly daddy is, amen? And that's what's so awesome about our God. He's a great equalizer, and the word is a great equalizer. It brings everybody up to the God level, amen? But see, it doesn't do that unless we understand that it's important to get into his plan. His plan is what matters, not our plan. It wasn't my plan to start another church. It wasn't my plan to start the first church, praise the Lord. It wasn't my plan to pastor. It wasn't my plan to do many things. In fact, there's many times I have to deal with my plans because I have ideas. I'm what my wife likes to call an ideator, right? An ideator. I'm a person that comes up with great ideas all the time. I think about this building I could build and that building I could build. And I think about this business I could start and this business I could start. And I think about this stuff all the time. This is the way I'm wired, you know. But see, just because I have ideas don't mean they're all of God. And so I have to submit my life before the Lord to make sure that I have, or that I'm in his will and doing what he wants. Yeah. This is why we make less mistakes than we did before. Because you see, you ain't got to be smart. The Holy Ghost will just take you there. Amen? Praise God. Well, we're going to start in Proverbs 16:3. And just go ahead and look at it up here. Proverbs 16:3 says, "Commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established." I love that. Every time, when I first discovered this scripture, I was like, ooh, now there is a good scripture. Commit your works to the Lord and your thoughts. I love that. Your thoughts will be established. Praise God. Well, we're going to break this apart a little bit. You know, I've learned that when you want to fully understand the word, you have to get into it. You got to kind of dissect it. You know, if you eat a really good meal, recently I had some soup that was just incredible. This incredible cream of she crab soup, hallelujah! And I'm going to tell you, if you like good soup, then you ask me after. I'm going to tell you where to go to get some of the best soup you've ever had. But I was eating the soup, I was saying, "Oh man, this soup is good," but I couldn't tell you all that was in it. And see, if you want to recreate the blessing, if you want to create what you had that one time, instead of just having it once, because how many know a great soup is great, but if you can only have it one time, well, it ain't going to do you much good. Right. You know, you'd spend the rest of your life thinking about how good that soup. I'm glad I know where they make the best crab soup. Amen? Amen. I'm glad it's not too far from here. Hallelujah. Amen. But see, I didn't know what was in it. And so I could ask the chef and stuff like that. But aren't you glad that we have a chef that's given us the recipe already? He's given us the ability. He's given us the recipe how to get in there. And he said, commit your works to the Lord. Praise the Lord. And your thoughts will be established. And that's first how he said it. But like I said, if we dissect the word, we get into it and tear it apart, we can start understanding what God means a little bit better. Amen. And this is all a good pastor does is do this. So when you really want to understand what a word is, you know, I looked at that and in my mind, I just think, okay, commit your works to the Lord and your thoughts will be established. I understand that. But as I was preparing this, there was something I wanted to get more out of that. What does commit really mean? Amen. Praise the Lord. So I looked it up in the Strong's Concordance, which everybody can get a Strong's Concordance. It's not just because I'm an awesome pastor that I got a special book. You know, I get rights to special books, praise the Lord. But you can look it up in the Strong's Concordance too. But overwhelmingly, the word commit means to roll together. And I looked that up and I thought, that's kind of weird. Roll together, commit. Well, I wasn't making the connection. And so I decided to do something else. We have this thing. We have this other thing, this real handy tool called dictionaries. Amen. And if you have Google, they have them instant. You just put in a word, look it up. There it is. Amen. And so I looked that word roll up. Yeah, I looked the word roll up. Now that's a word that most people ain't gonna look up because they know what it means, right? But I was pleasantly surprised when I got into there. I love what it says in the first dictionary that came up. It said roll. It means to move or cause to move in a particular direction by turning over and over on an axis. Amen? To move or to cause to move in a particular direction by turning over and over. Commit your works to the Lord. Roll. Cause to move in a particular direction by turning over and over. The axis is the Lord. When you base your life around the word, around the Lord, what he said, when you start making your life and you roll it, you constantly roll it in that direction. You constantly, every time something comes up, you just turn it right back towards God. Turn it right back towards God. You see, this is what this is talking about. When you commit your works to the Lord, everything you do, you're constantly turning back towards God. Now, I want to form this into the image of God. I want to put this back into the way he said. What did the Lord direct me to do? And so how does this apply to this next thing I'm going to do, this next car I'm going to buy, even this next house I'm going to buy, this next town I'm going to live in, the next church I'm going to go to, whatever it is, whatever you call it, it could be something simple. The person I'm going to marry, praise the Lord. I'm not going to marry someone next, amen. I got my next, hallelujah, and she's a great next, hallelujah. She's a forever next, amen. Praise the Lord. But you understand that. So when we constantly, if we look at this correctly, we see that if we constantly roll our thoughts or our works back towards the Lord, we form them to look according to the plan that he has put in our hearts. What happens? Your thoughts will be established. What are your thoughts? This is really simple. This means that everything, when you are after God, when you are full of God, when you constantly are rolling your life back to Jesus, that's the great thing about rolling. Doesn't mean it has to be perfect, because it's moving. Yeah. And see, you could make a mistake and get a little bit off, and you could be like, well, wait a minute, I'm just going to roll that back. When you realize that I'm just going to roll that back. I'm just going to go back in that direction. I'm going to take these things back towards the things of God, and then I'm going to see everything he has. And the Bible says that our thoughts will be established. I have so many thoughts on a day-to-day basis. A lot of good thoughts, amen? I don't make a habit of sitting around thinking about bad things. The Bible tells me that, and so I know that, and so I didn't have to be so smart. The Bible is very clear. So I try to think on the right things, you know. I try to think. It tells us in Philippians to think in the right direction. I think Philippians 4, 6, 7, 8, and those scriptures, you know, to think on the right things. We need to keep our minds focused on what God is doing, who God is, his goodness, all these things. This is why people get tripped up when something goes wrong in their life, because they start focusing on the bad. How do they do that? Because they keep talking about the devil's putting me through this trial, the devil's putting me through this trial. No, you don't need to. Okay, if you've acknowledged it once, fine, acknowledge it, then move on to God. Get away from the devil and what he's doing and move on to God. See, this is rolling your thoughts around the way that they because what happens is, see, what we don't understand is that our thoughts will be established by whatever we're committed to. If we're committed to bad things, then that's what our thoughts are going to go to bad things, and that's what's going to happen in our life. Yeah. Praise the Lord. God never intended bad things to happen. But we understand as we turn our works, as we turn our endeavors, everything back towards Him. You know, it's real easy. I've seen people that are really blessed financially. If they turn their finances back towards God, it's amazing. There's a man I know, and I'm not going to go into too much detail, but there's a man I know, Christian businessman, who constantly gives towards the work of the Lord. He helps churches out and gives money, large sums of money. I mean, we're talking about well over $1 million he has loaned out helping churches out, praise the Lord. And this man, this year, his business is increasing exponentially. Yeah. Because he keeps doing his focus, he's committed his work to the Lord. Yeah. And because he's done that, the Lord keeps growing him. Yeah. Amen? Because God wants him blessed, because he's being a blessing. Yeah. Now see, he's not the only one that can be like that. Now some of us didn't start at the same place. But if you start committing your way to the Lord, he will start increasing you. Yeah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Yes. Praise the Lord. God is good. Psalm 37:3. Praise the Lord. I'm so thankful for the Word because the Word directs us always into the blessing of God, into more. It directs us into better. It directs us into nicer, hallelujah, better feeling, better looking, hallelujah. I love it, hallelujah. Psalm 37:3. Trust in the Lord and do good. That's pretty simple. See, a lot of people, a lot of Christians, they don't need this part of the Word, they don't understand this. Trust in the Lord. People say, I trust in God, but do you really trust in God? If you're having thoughts and those thoughts are taking you to a bad place, a place opposite of what Scripture tells you, you're not trusting in God. Yeah, I'm telling you this all the time. There's times as a pastor, I figure out, I'm not trusting God. So what do? I roll my works over. I start changing my direction a little bit. You know what I mean? See, this is how we have to live. This Christians, it is always about constantly readjusting your life into course correction. That's what I often use. Being a Christian is constantly about course correction. See, you don't have to be perfect, and that's why that's what Jesus did for us. That's what grace is for. Grace is God's ability, though we didn't deserve it. Amen? And He gave us that ability, but yet Christians don't walk in that ability because they say, I don't have that ability. And He said, you have it. But people say, well, I don't see it. He says, you have it. You don't need to see it. It's already in you. Yes. Christian, it's already in you. God's ability is already on the inside of you. You don't need to do anything other than access it. You don't need to do anything other than to get into it. Amen. You don't have to see, this is what so many people, they're so far off because they just don't realize that God has done everything He's already gonna always any ever gonna do. Praise God. Yes. God isn't doing anymore. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love deliverance ministries. I say that jokingly. Deliverance ministries. You've already been delivered. Right. If you're born again, that's all the deliverance ministry you ever need. Right. Yeah. Why? Because He gave you everything all in one shot. He gave you the whole shot. It's like, you know, if you have a child, you have to go, you know, you have to take vaccines every year, a couple times for the first couple years and stuff like that. They don't give them the whole amount all at one time. I don't know why. I don't know how it works, but it doesn't matter. They just don't. You know, you have to go back. But see, with God and Jesus, He gave it to you in one shot. Yeah. You don't understand. He said, you are rich. You are victorious. Are. You are more than conquerors. You already are. Just because you don't walk in it doesn't mean that you aren't that. Right. Praise the Lord. I could have $1 million. Have you ever heard the story of a person who was, and I've heard several accounts of these, somebody who was like a homeless person, and they finally died. They died in poverty and near starvation and found out they had like millions of dollars or thousands of dollars stuffed in a mattress somewhere. Yeah. Just because you have it doesn't mean you're accessing it. Right. And see, that's the way it is with God. God has given us things already. All we have to do is access them. But we access them by faith. What is faith? Faith is believing in something you don't see. But Pastor, I don't see it. Faith is believing in something you don't see. But Pastor, I don't feel it. Faith is believing in something you don't feel. But Pastor, I don't know what we're going to do. Faith is believing that God, that's trusting in the Lord. Yes. Let's see all that out of just those four words. Yeah. Trust in the Lord. That's what trusting in God is. Yeah. Trusting in God is saying, oh, praise God. I got to find a really great quote from my pastor. Praise the Lord. But trusting in God is not, it's believing God at his word. It's saying that whatever he said, I'm going with that no matter what. I'm not getting off into anything else. Amen? Praise the Lord. Let's see if I have it here. Praise God. Hallelujah. Yep. Hallelujah. I'm going to go back to my text messages because I was talking to my pastor. And we were talking about this very thing. We were talking about doing things that don't make sense. Because as a pastor of a faith church, you are always being led into things that you don't, by faith.
Yeah.
Going to Corey was by faith.
Yeah.
Getting into a building is by faith.
Yeah.
You know, all these things that we access, we start by faith. And my people can't walk into it unless I do. See, that's why people don't understand. When people get mad at ministers because they're prospering, they're foolish, because they're never going to walk into everything that God has for them. Amen. Here's a quote right here. He said, "There's always something foolish in what it takes faith to do. There's always something foolish and naturally in what it takes faith to do. Praise the Lord. It's foolish to put a seed into the ground." When that seed is all that you have, unless you know what faith is going to do. Well, faith in that is that when I put it in the ground, it's going to produce something. It's going to produce a harvest of more seed. But see, the person who eats the seed, and so many people do that, the person who eats the seed, they never go in. So you understand that there's always something foolish. And you know, when I say foolish, I don't mean just doing, you know, in your mind, it just doesn't make sense. The Bible says that he uses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise.
Yeah.
Amen? So trust in the Lord and do good.
That's good.
Oh, man, I could stay camped out on this all day. Trust in the Lord and do good. Pastor Jeff, go down to Corey, start a church. Trust in the Lord and do good. What's doing good? Doing what he told me to do.
Right.
That's committing my way to the Lord. That's rolling my thoughts, but wait a minute, you know, hotel and stuff and lots of churches and all this stuff. You understand? There's plenty of reasons not to. It's foolish. To come to Corey and start a church, unless the Lord builds a house. They labor in vain to do it. And see, God sent us here. When he sent me here, he said, he's given me very specific direction. This is why it's good to be in tune with the Spirit, amen?
Yeah.
Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. What are you feeding on? Oh, I feed on my job. No, you feed on his faithfulness. Where does he have you? It doesn't matter. If he's got you at a job that's lesser, he's going to make up. If he has you in a town that's lesser because you're called to a church there, you're called to something, he's going to make it up.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. If he's got to make the entire town prosper just to get money to you, he will.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You,
oh, absolutely. Praise the Lord. I've seen jobs. I've seen Christians walk into jobs that they weren't even remotely qualified for, but I've seen them walk into it because they were faithful and they believed God and he took them right into it. Yeah. You know, qualifications mean nothing because if you got the great qualifier, hallelujah, and on your side, well, praise the Lord.
Right.
Never look at something. One of the biggest mistakes Christians make is they look at something and they say, I can't ever do that.
Right.
I can't ever have that. Well, who told you that?
Yeah.
God certainly didn't tell you that. God will never tell you you can't. The Bible says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Right.
Jesus said, he said, everything is possible to him who believes.
Yep.
Everything is possible to him who believes.
Yeah.
Her who believes too. Everything is possible. Praise the Lord. That really takes a lot off the table. You know what I'm saying? Praise the Lord. Now look at this, verse 4. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Praise God. See, when you're after God, you ain't desiring the wrong things anymore. When you're after God, you know, the Bible says that he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. I've obtained favor from the Lord. It's not bad to desire a wife, but it is bad to desire the wrong kind of wife, the wrong kind of husband. I'll tell you what, it's better to be single the rest of your life than it. But see, if God, the Bible says he'll give you the desires of your heart. So you just let God bring it to pass. I don't care what it is. All this, see, as you line your life, as you roll your life, as you constantly roll your, this is who this is speaking to. Somebody who is committing their way to the Lord. He's establishing their thoughts. See, these scriptures are connected, even though they're two different books, Proverbs, Psalms, but still they're connected. See, as you do that, as you spend your life rolling, learning how to roll it over and over towards God, keep bringing things back towards God, He will give you the desires of your heart. He's bringing those things come to pass. So you don't have to worry about it anymore. All you have to focus on, the only thing that a Christian should focus on, the only thing that as a believer in Christ you should focus on is what is God's direction for me.
Yes.
It doesn't matter what else is done, said. It doesn't matter what it looks like. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. If it's a blizzard or a snowstorm, he probably ain't going to do this, but if it's a blizzard snowstorm out there and God tells you to go walk 10 miles naked, I'm going to tell you something. You're going to go do it. And you're going to do it without effect. Praise the Lord. Now, listen. If you think God is telling you to go walk 10 miles naked in a snowstorm, call me. Praise the Lord. And we'll talk about this. All right? I'm going to help you. But you understand. I use the extreme because we have to understand our God is extreme. When He tells us to do something, it doesn't matter what it looks like. Everything in the natural could say, I can't do that. I can't. I can't give up to go to, I can't give up, I've known people who have given up church to go to a job.
Right. Yeah.
Eh. Yep. That's not following the plan of God.
Right.
That's following their own desires, their own thoughts. That's not committing your work to the Lord, not committing your way to the Lord. God said, don't forsake the assembling together of the brethren for a reason. When we come together, there's power. When we come together, there's the ability. When we come together, there's the grace of God that works in all of us, and we leave here changed. That's why He's given us pastors. That's why He's given us churches, and aren't you glad for it? Amen? Praise the Lord. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. If you didn't get stirred and excited about the scripture, wrote it down, and decided, I'm going to tattoo this on my forehead, then there's something wrong with you, Christian.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. He wants to give you the desires of your heart. God is all about your heart. He's like, I want to give you that. People, I remember sitting around thinking, oh, if only I could have this, and only if I could have this. And I'm not talking about just things, but I'm just talking about in life, there's things that we desire. God wants you to have those things. He's not opposed to you having those things.
Yeah.
He's opposed to you coveting them.
Yeah.
And what is coveting them? Coveting them is when you put those things above God.
Yeah.
Well, I want a spouse. Well, this spouse ain't serving God. But I want to be with this person. That's exactly what you're doing. You're giving over. You're now you're coveting because you're putting it above God. Everything you put above God, you're coveting.
Yeah.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Wow.
We better get going here. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him. See, we see that word commit. It's the same word. Commit your way to the Lord. Roll over and over in that access that is God. Trust also in Him. And what? He shall bring it to pass. Oh, Christians are out there trying to work it. Mm-hmm. Trying to work it. You know, I gotta work 10,000 hours a week because that's the only way we're gonna afford to live. No, you don't. No, you don't. Bible says you need to rest.
Yeah.
No, I'm not saying that you don't need to work. You need to work. You need to give an honest day's work. You have to do that stuff.
Yeah.
There is nothing wrong with a person working. In fact, there's everything wrong with somebody who refuses to work. That is not the will of the Lord. Now, I'm not, you know, there's times I've known people, I've been laid off myself, or you've had lulls and stuff like that. I'm not talking about that, but I'm talking about the desire to serve God and to work and to do things right. God will bless the work of our hands. If we're not working, He can't bless it. Amen? Praise the Lord. But God wants to bring it to pass. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Who shall? See, we see that again. Trust Him. Trust Him. He shall bring it to pass. Child of God, you're trying to bring it to pass. You're doing the wrong job. You know what I mean? It'd be like a farmer going out there and like he plants corn and it sprouts up a little bit and he goes out there and he starts messing with it. You know what I'm saying? He goes out there and he starts messing with it and like flicking it and rubbing it and doing all kinds of things to it. And you know what I mean? He's not going to make it grow any faster because it's not his job to make it grow. Do you understand what I'm saying? What does a good farmer do? They plant the corn and they leave it alone.
Yeah.
I mean, they may have to do stuff or plant whatever. They may, you know, they may do their part. And we always have a part to play in God's work.
Yeah.
What's like coming to Corey and building a church and not building, you know, but you know what I mean? Building a church and being there and preaching, being willing. That's all part of it. But God brings the increase. I don't worry about if three people come through the door or if 300 come through the door. It doesn't matter. It does not matter because I'm not the one. I didn't tell me to be here. I didn't plan a church for me to have another church. I planted a church because it was a direction of God. Hallelujah. So whether so as there's lots of people, we see we shouldn't be moved by lots of people or little people. Praise the Lord. We move with the plan. We go with what God has us to do. And as we do that, He shall bring it to pass. God brings the increase. One waters, one plants, one waters. God brings the increase. The same thing with everything in our life. Praise the Lord. Praise God. I love this in Psalm 126:5. I saw this. Boy, that's small. Hallelujah. It says, those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. What is this talking about? Those who are, they just get upset and they, no. It's understanding, sowing in tears. Now, whoo, praise the Lord. See, we sowed a little bit. We reaped a lot. Hallelujah. Those who sow in tears, it means that when you sow, you always have less than you started with.
Yeah.
If you take a seed, put it in the ground, now you don't have that seed. Yeah. At least before you had the seed. Now you don't even have the seed. But why do you sow? Because you want to reap in joy. You know that when you sow the seed, it's going to reap, you're going to reap a harvest. And the same thing is with God. See, this is doing His work. And God's work, I'm going to tell you this right now. I'm going to give you a little, I'm going to clue you in on something. I'm going to give you a little freebie. Amen? God's work always costs you. It always costs you. It's going to cost you something.
Yeah.
Doing the will of God will always, if it's not costing you anything, it's probably not the will of God.
That's right.
If it's just catering to your flesh, it probably ain't the will of God. If it's just making, you know what I'm saying? Not because God wants a heart on you, but God desires faith. He requires faith.
Yeah.
And faith is, it doesn't feel good to do this, but I'm going to do it anyways, knowing that there's going to be a harvest.
Right.
Amen? Praise the Lord. Turn with me to Matthew 6:25. Praise God. See, it matters how we're committed to God. And this isn't painful at all, because we understand that even if you haven't been, or you're getting a word tonight that says, wait a minute, I can have hope in the fact that if I commit my way to Him, that I can trust in Him, because it's going to come to pass. Because He wants to give me the desires of my heart. No more. You've seen the scriptures. I hope you wrote them down. But if not, listen to the recording. If not, ask me later, whatever you have to do. But you understand this. You have the word that tells you that He wants you blessed. Does anyone not see that tonight? You have the word that tells you He wants you blessed. He wants you full. He wants you to have those things that you want. So stop freaking out about it. Stop worrying about it. Just get in the will of God and it'll come to pass.
Yes.
Oh my gosh, I can't say it any easier than that. I mean, this is what serving God is like. That people like, you serve God. Why do you serve God? I serve God because it feels so much better than not serving God. I serve God because He loved me so greatly and did so much for me and still is doing so much for me that I can't not serve God. It bothers me when I hear of a Christian who doesn't serve God in any way, capacity, shape, or form. They just don't even know that they're Christians. It bothers me. They're not Christians. Listen, when there's a heart change and you realize what God has done for you, there will be a lifestyle change. It might not be perfect, but there will be a change. How do you know when someone gets saved? How they act? Somebody raises their hand once and says, oh, I want to pray that prayer. You can mentally assent to the knowledge that Jesus Christ died for your sins, but that doesn't save you. It's when you get it in your heart. It's when you receive Him into your heart. When you receive Jesus in your heart, there ain't no more room for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, amen. Hallelujah. There ain't no more room for you when you receive Jesus. He said you've died to yourself.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. You ain't your own no more. Hallelujah. But it feels good. I'm going to tell you right now, serving God is not a sad thing.
Right.
Dear Jesus, there's Christians who run around acting like it's harder to serve God than it was living the world. And so they keep going back to the world. They're foolish.
Yeah.
They have no idea what Christ did for them. They have no idea what God promises them. God desires good things in our lives. Why do we keep looking at God like the one who's the builder and the wrecking ball? Stupid things like that. Christians like that need to be slapped. They do. They need to be slapped upside the head. Listen, God is not the wrecking ball. He is not destroying your life. Satan is the one who comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus is the one that came to give us life. Hallelujah. Abundant life at that, says. Matthew 6:25. Therefore, I say to you, Jesus said this, in case you didn't know. I mean, it wasn't, you know, Jesus is the word, and the whole word is Jesus, so it doesn't matter that where it is, but we have to tell you that Jesus said this because it makes it more important to people. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life. One who worries is not committed to God. Why? Because they have no idea. You can't commit your way to something you don't trust in. If I don't trust in something, I ain't committed to it. Somebody comes to me and say, hey, I've got this great investment. But this person that came to me, they say, all you got to invest $2,000, but there's a huge payout. Amen? Somebody comes to me and says that. But everything about that person, I know this person, everything about their character tells me that everything they do screws up, that they fail, that they fall into foolish things and stuff like that. Listen, I'm not going to be committed to that.
Right.
I'm not going to give them my money. I'm not going to be committed to something that I know is off. This is why it's so bad when people don't teach God correctly, when they're not talking about the Heavenly Father the way He actually is, that He's a God of prosperity, a God of health and healing, a God of more than enough. This is our God. And when people don't teach that, you know what? It's actually a lie of the devil, because the devil knows that if you don't trust God, if there's an inkling in your God, if there's a thought in your head that God could take your life at any minute, if there's that thought, then there's always that part of you that will not fully completely trust in Him. And you can't trust in the Lord and do good. You can't commit your way to Him because you don't trust in Him. See, this is how the lies of the devil get into the church. This is how it affects churches. I hear churches that are they're singing, He gives and takes away, singing songs like this. No, we don't sing garbage songs like that, because that's a lie from the pit of hell. You might as well turn on Ozzy Osbourne or some other garbage, because you're getting the same exact crap. That's the only way to say it. You're getting the same garbage. Yeah. Praise the Lord. It stinks. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Sometimes I'm not a man of many words, but the words, you get what I'm saying. Amen. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life. That's the first thing it says before the comma. It says, therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life. What are you going to worry about?
Nothing.
Why? Because everything that you have right now pertains to your life. Yeah. So what do you got to worry about? Jesus said, don't worry about any of it.
Yeah.
Why? He's going to tell us why. Hallelujah. And He's going to expand it. What you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on, is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing. This is not saying that God doesn't care about clothing and that you shouldn't either. This doesn't mean we all have to become Amish. Because that's the only way to live. This doesn't mean we have to give up every nice thing. For dear Jesus, He created this earth in abundance. You know, gold was created by God.
Yes.
I used to hate gold. When I was living my poverty mentality life, I hated gold. I did. I'm just going to tell you the honest God truth. I hated gold. I hated the look of it. I didn't want anything to do with it. I thought it was gaudy. I thought it was tacky. You know what's funny? One of the things that changed in me is I love gold. Now, I'm not saying I adorn myself with gold and I go, but I love it. I think it's beautiful.
Yeah.
God created it.
Yeah.
I said, God created
right.
it. He said, the Bible tells us that He created the gold, put it in the earth, and He said the gold was good.
Yeah.
And yet people sit there and they reject it and say, well, that minister, they preach about that, you know, and stuff. God created gold.
Yeah.
What's more valuable than gold? You can talk about dollars all day long. You talk about money all day long. But I'm going to tell you right now, God created gold, which is more valuable than dollars.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's just denim, hallelujah. That's like jean cutoffs. You know that? That's how they make dollars. Praise the Lord. They grind up jeans and they mix it with some other stuff, put some ink on it, and there's your dollar.
Yeah.
What's that worth? Ain't worth nothing.
Yeah.
Gold, you can burn all the paper in the world, but gold, I'm going to tell you what. Somebody comes up to you with $10 million in cash or $10 million worth of gold, I'm taking the gold.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why? Because God created it's good. See, it's not wrong to desire what God has created. He gave us this earth and everything in it, the abundance, the fullness thereof. He gave it all to us to enjoy. God is not like, why do Christians, like they run around thinking, I have Christians that hate us because we preach like this. They would rather, I saw one. Yeah, I saw one. Driving their little dinky beat up car. I ain't joking. And you know what? The Spirit of God spoke to me. When I saw that, you will have what you believe.
Wow.
Yeah. There's people that God wants so much more for. I am not talking about being car-minded or money-minded or stuff like that. I'm talking about being God-minded, that says excellence in all things, that believes God for the highest and best, that if it's a desire of my heart, as long as my way... See, you can't listen to this message and just say, well, he's... Unless you don't listen to it right, and then shame on you. But you understand what I'm saying. God does not want you. God wants so much more for you than you even want.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Praise the Lord. That's why I don't say I wouldn't receive that. Praise the Lord. Even if I didn't want it. I don't want a 10,000 square foot house. I don't. I have no interest in a 10,000 square foot house. But I'm going to tell you, if the Lord delivers me one because he says it's for me, praise the Lord. And maybe I'll sell it, buy a smaller house, and do something else with it. But you understand what I'm saying. Like, I ain't going to reject something just because it's big or because it's more than I want.
Yeah. Right.
Come on now.
Right.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah, he is. Hallelujah. Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? And here's the truth of it. People can sit there and pick apart ministries that preach things like what we're preaching, but I'm going to tell you, everybody in this world is concerned about money. Everybody out there is concerned about it. If it wasn't a concern, you would never care. You would never care what your neighbor had. You would never care what the guy down the street had. You would never care what some minister on TV has or didn't have. If you had all you needed and more, you wouldn't ever even think about it. You wouldn't think about it. You don't see billionaires going around crying about money. No, you don't. They don't think about it.
Nope.
Why? Because they got it.
Yeah.
That's the way it is. Amen? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. I better get moving. Praise the Lord. Gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying could add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Again, here's another great example. Jesus used an example of Solomon, richest man. God made him rich. This isn't about money. This is about committing your way to the Lord, which he did, and God blessed him. See, God blesses, and if you're focused on just the money, then your focus is off anyways. But God increased him in all areas because he followed God, because he wanted to commit. Now, he didn't always. He made some mistakes. Amen? But so do you and I. But see, if we keep rolling it back around, if we keep committing our way to the Lord, look at this. This is what God does. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. I'm going to bring this point up again because so many Christians have this mindset. Again, bad teaching causes bad understanding of God, and you won't trust in God. You won't commit your way to him. But there's so many people that teach that God, because he's some supreme being, will do all that he controls everything. Everything happens according to his divine plan. And that is just not so. But see, people who believe that, then when they see scriptures like this, they say, well, this can't be what God was talking about, because I don't see every Christian blessed. I don't see every follower of Christ blessed. Everyone who listens.
Yeah.
Everyone who listens. You will never find a person who follows God with all their heart, who's taught well, follows God with all their heart. You will never find a person like that. You'll never see a person like that commit suicide. You'll never see a person like that give up on life. You'll never see a person like that file bankruptcy. Hey, listen, I understand. I've been to the poorest of the poor. I've been so low that I was reaching up to touch bottom. And I ain't kidding. Praise the Lord. I filed bankruptcy once. I understand what it's like to not have anything. I remember not knowing how I was going to feed my kids when they would come over to my house. So I had to take them to my mom's house just so I could feed them. Listen, I understand what poverty is like. But I also understand that it's a plot of the enemy, not of God.
Yeah.
And until we get that, until Christians get that, they're going to continually live in that mess.
Yeah.
But see, they don't understand that. They don't have to worry about it. See, God is putting this all, we're putting it all together tonight. He said, commit your way to the Lord. You can trust him. You can believe him. So commit your way. He'll give you your desires. So commit your way. Just focus on him. Put it on him.
Yes.
And he'll bring it to pass. Don't worry about it. See, this is the thing. I remember first hearing these scriptures. And I wasn't taught the word well. And what did I think when I read these scriptures? I couldn't completely trust these. I wasn't completely sold out to them. I am now.
Amen.
Why? Because I know God's provision, abundance. I'm not saying I've walked in his full prosperity. I say I'm heading that way, though. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I'm building to that. Amen. Because the full prosperity of God is the ability to, you know, what if you had so much money that you didn't have to go to a specific job, but you could just serve God all day long? Yeah. I mean, think about that. What if you had so much money that every time that there was a church plant, you just said, oh, let me cover that, Pastor. I mean, seriously, think about this. This is why God wants it. But see, people that don't think that way, people that won't, you know, people that don't want to give $2 in the offering plate, people who buck the system on tithing and stuff like that, they aren't people that will ever walk that out. Because they're not people that are fully committed to God. See, you can't do something like tithe unless you're completely committed to him. And you can't do that until you completely trust him.
Right.
Yeah, amen. We're on the other side of that now, praise the Lord. We're at the place that we wouldn't dare not do it. We would do it all. We'd tithe at all costs. We'd give at all costs. Why? Because we don't dare not do it.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. We don't want to go back to that vomit. Amen?
Right.
Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Jesus brings it up right there. Just trust him. Therefore, do not worry saying. Now, look at that. Do not worry saying. What we say is what our hearts is saying. Hallelujah. What we're thinking, our deep down thoughts come out when we speak. This is why when I talk to somebody, I know within a few seconds where their faith is. Praise the Lord. Yep. Therefore, do not worry saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For all these things the Gentiles seek. The whole world is seeking these things. Everybody in their mother is after these things. But you don't got to worry about it because you're a child of God. He's the supplier. You know, I love the example. God given so many examples in life, and of course, one of the greatest ones is a home where you raise children. So you completely, parents, you understand how God is.
Yeah.
Do your kids, my kids never come to me and think, oh, Daddy, please, I really need something to eat. I don't have it. There's no food in the fridge. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know. My kids never do that. Why? Because I'm a good dad. My kids go to the fridge. My wife had operation eat from the fridge this week. What is that? It means we had so much food in the fridge, that instead of going buy more, we're just going to make meals out of whatever's in there. Some creative stuff, but mind you, came up. Praise the Lord. And I love it because, my wife said to me, she's like, you know, we're never going to have this again. And it isn't because it was bad. It's just because we ain't ever going to have. She didn't even know how she made it. She's grab this, grab that, throw it together. There you go. You got food. But see, that's my household. My kids are well fed. You know what I'm saying? The same thing with clothes. My kids never come to me. Ezra. Oh, I love this. The blessing of the Lord. Ezra's life has been such a testament to the blessing of the Lord. We have not had to one day in her life, not one day have we ever had to buy one article of clothing for this little girl. Not once. We have bought it. We've never had to. It's been like we've been at the store, like, oh, this is really cute. Or she's like, Daddy, I really like this. And so, you know, something like that. We have never had to. Bags of clothes several times a year come to our house. Diapers either. Never bought diapers. Yeah. Praise the Lord. See, this is the provision of God. It's the blessing of the Lord. And I'm not talking about like, you know, the stuff that's left over at the Salvation Army underneath the rack that nobody wanted.
Yeah.
We're talking about name brand clothes that we wouldn't buy anyways because we just didn't make enough money.
Yeah.
Yeah. The best of the best.
Yeah.
Barely worn sometimes.
Yeah.
She has so many clothes.
We've
we've had to put more storage and she still can't wear it all.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. See, that is the blessing of the Lord.
Yeah.
Praise God. Hallelujah. For her and for us.
Yeah.
Do you love your clothes? Yeah, see? Praise God. See, God is so good. This is what God is talking about.
Yes,
he knows that you need this. You know, my kids don't come to me and they'll worry about, and kids shouldn't have to in a good home. Because a good home, is there's provision, amen?
Yes.
And that's exactly what God does. For after all these things, the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need of all these things. But look at this. This is very important. 33. This is so important. If Christians would just get this, you need to meditate on this. Yeah, you do. Praise the Lord. Anybody who's listening to this or listening to this online, you need to meditate on this. How do I know this? Because I know I need to meditate on it. This is something every Christian on earth needs to meditate on. But, there's a big but, the big Bible but, hallelujah. Big Bible but, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek first, not after, not second, not one and a half. Not kind of a little bit. No, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. So he's given you the desires of your heart. He's given you everything that you could possibly. Do you not see that in scripture tonight?
Yeah. Oh, that's good.
Commit your way to the Lord.
Right.
Roll back all your thoughts, all your plans. Roll them towards the thoughts of God. Get into the Word. Find out what God's direction is in your life. Find out what God wants for you. You will never lack for anything. You will never go without anything. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And then he goes on to say, as if that wasn't enough, verse 34, therefore, because of all that, because now I've instructed you on what to do, do not worry about tomorrow. This is why. See, at first he said, don't worry about tomorrow. Then he explains to you why, explains to you what to do, and then he comes right back around and he says, therefore, this is why I said, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things.
Yeah.
Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. What do you need today?
Yeah.
Yeah. You need to be minded. What God, what do you have for me right now? This is not saying you can't plan for retirement.
Yeah.
This is not saying that you can't plan for the future. It's not saying that at all. It's saying don't worry about it. Don't stress out about it. Praise the Lord. You'll get in there. I said you'll get in there. One of these days you'll get in there. I remember telling Rachel and Josh about their house. Or at least implied that. I hope that's what I was getting across. You'll get in there.
Yeah.
You know, there'll be a day, and then I think they knew that as well. They had work to do, but eventually they'll get in there.
Yeah.
It'll get done. Amen?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Job 3:25 says, and this is what I really want to bring up, because this is what this all comes down to. We're getting close to closing here. Job 3:25, for the thing I greatly feared has come upon me, and what I dreaded has happened to me.
Mm-hmm.
This is why the Bible tells us not to worry. What is worry is but it's fear. It's just fear. Worrying about not being taken care of is fear. And a lot of us, this has been ingrained. We've seen families, whole families, who this has been so ingrained in that you can see one generation to the next. The fear. You can see the fear. I don't know what we'll ever do. I don't know how this and that, every excuse. But see, this is the thing. Job said this. He had the same thing. Your thoughts can be established regardless of whether they are good thoughts or bad thoughts. I would say this, your thoughts will be established whether they are good thoughts or bad thoughts. If you constantly think the worst, you're going to see the worst. Fear is the antithesis of faith, and we have to understand that. What you gain by faith, you can lose with fear. Amen. The whole world, Jesus said, nothing is impossible to him who believes, to him who has faith. But what you gain by faith, you can lose by fear.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Turn with me, 2 Timothy 1, 3. Praise the Lord. Now, we're gonna read a familiar scripture soon, but in this, I wanted you to see, I thought, you know, there's a scripture we often go to here. It's actually 2 Timothy 1, 7. That says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. We often think about that. But you know, it is important to read scripture in context. And so I did that this time, and I decided to bring in some context. Look at, starting in verse 3. So 2 Timothy 1, 3. Look what it says here. It says, I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing, I remember you in my prayers night and day. So I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, meaning I know I'm serving God with all my heart.
Yeah.
You ever been there? You ever had one of those days where you knew you prayed enough?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's not every day, I understand, I'm not there either. But you know, you ever had one of those days where you're just like, I knocked it out of the park today, hallelujah. Oh, I was before the Lord, I was praying, I was doing good things, you know, I ate right today. You ever had one of those days where just everything was perfect?
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about, praise the Lord. Well, he's like, well, that's a pure conscience. You know, amen?
Yeah, yeah.
Praise the Lord. Verse 4, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. Now, you have to understand something about this. The letters to Timothy are very interesting because Timothy was a pastor who was wanting to quit. Timothy was a pastor who was ready to give up. And Paul was writing, encouraging him, encouraging Timothy to not quit, to not give up. See, he was being mindful. He was talking about this. He's being mindful of your tears. Praise the Lord. Verse 5, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. Have you ever had a pastor tell you something like that where you just needed it, you know? I know you can, brother. I know you can, sister. I can see it in you. Hallelujah. That's exactly what Paul is doing here. And see, and that's the thing. God's given us a great gift to be able to discern those things, to be able to see those things in people. I can see greatness in people. I've seen greatness in people that gave up. I've seen greatness in people who just quit. I've seen greatness in people who act like they're nothing. I know one of the most extreme cases of somebody that the Lord had put me with to help out. And this man had potential of being really great. The Lord showed me some things. And yet still doing nothing. Absolutely nothing. Lives a miserable life. Basically waiting to die. Not because God's will, because he never sold out to God and what he wanted for him. He believes in God, but he's never sold out to him. He never learned to trust him. It's the way it is. It's important that you learn to trust God, because you will not walk out those things and those plans. Amen? Look at this. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not, because of that, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. And see, and this is where we need to confess, is we need to understand that God has not given us a spirit of fear. If it's a spirit of fear that's coming upon us, it ain't God. And you have to understand, worry is a spirit of fear. Not knowing what's going to happen with your kids, it's a spirit of fear. Not knowing how you're going to pay this month's bills, it's a spirit of fear. Not knowing how you're going to how you're going to pay for a church when you don't have that many people coming yet, it's a spirit of fear. I'm telling you, very real things, but we have to walk them out, amen? For God has not given us a spirit of fear. And now I want to skip down to second. The same. We're still there. Just skip down to verse 12. I love what he says here. For this reason, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know, look at this, whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. I know whom I have believed in. Yeah, yeah. I know who my God is. Yeah. This is why I can speak such things to you when it doesn't look like it. You know, when somebody stands before you as your pastor and say, hey, I got cancer. Listen, in my natural mind, I'm like, well, okay, that stinks. Well, I can't do anything about that, but I know. I know in whom I believe. When somebody stands before you and say, I don't know how I'm going to come up with next month's rent. I don't know how I'm going to do this. I don't know how I'm going to do that. This is what a pastor's life is. I have people coming to me all the time saying, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know. But see, I know in whom I believed. And I am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. And that's why I trust God for all of you. That's why I trust God for all my churches. I know that everything God has directed me to do, I've committed it to him. I know that it's his plan. I know it's his direction. I'm rolling it back around. All I'm saying, I'm going to stay in the plan of God because I know who the God is that I believe. He shows me all the time. And that's why I stand before you and shout, because I know who God is. And see, when I shout, I get you to know who God is. And maybe you shout a little bit when you got trial coming against you. Maybe you'll shout a little bit when stuff is pressing against you and you don't know in your natural mind. It's foolishness to go this way. It's foolishness to follow God. It's foolishness to go to church on Saturday night in a hotel. Praise the Lord. It's foolishness. It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't matter if it makes any sense. It's God.
Right.
Commit your way to the Lord. And he shall give you the desires of your heart. Your thoughts will be established when your way is committed to him. I'm going to close with this, Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? I'm going to tell you, that's a rhetorical question. The answer to that is no, he will. He'll always do it. If he's spoken it, it'll be good. He's the one that said he'll give you the desires of your heart, not me. I repeated what God said. He's the one that said that he'll bless your storehouse, not me. He's the one that said that he's going to open up the windows of heaven, not me.
Right.
We just repeat what he said. Hallelujah. Yeah. He's the one that said you're going to the other side, not me.
Right.
God's the one that said it.
Yes.
Has he said it? He will not do. Or has he spoken? And he will not make it good. God does his word. The Bible says that he is looking to perform his word. He's hearkening to perform his word. He wants to perform his word. He says his word will not return to him void. So start using it. Hallelujah.